Ramsey TV.
My dishwasher could start draining anytime, so if a weird noise starts happening, I thought I was going to have to start making the show with my dishwasher going, it makes a little squeak in there during the cycle. I'll show it to you now. It's got, I don't know what's going to happen. I think there's a cycle coming up, but I don't know how to stop it. There it is. There it is. There's the dishwasher right there. See those lights? See those green lights? Yeah, I don't know what any of them mean, and I don't know how to stop them if I did know what they meant. So these are the hazards of recording in the kitchen with a guy who doesn't understand his own appliances. That guy's Martin Zender, and I'm teaching you about the armor of God. And it's a joy to do it because this is a fortress. It is a garrison that has already been built on your behalf. When Paul says in Ephesians 6 to put on the armor of God, 6:11, the put on is in the middle voice. Remember, I know I'm reviewing. I told you I demonstrated this with my wife back in 1996 in Kitchener, Ontario. I had her stand over here with a red umbrella. I told you this on another show. And I was demonstrating the middle voice of the Greek with a red umbrella. And I said, don't attempt this at home. I am a trained professional. You could be seriously injured if you don't know what you're doing here. My wife stands over there with a red umbrella. I say, if this was put on, if this was the active voice, which is not, it would be this. I reached over, grabbed it, took it for myself, held the umbrella over my head. That's the equivalent of you having your own set of armor. I said, it's not the active voice. Thank you, Marcia. I gave her the umbrella back. Now, here's the passive voice. It's not this either. And I stood there, and Marcia, having been coached previously, came over to me as I just stood there, did nothing, and held the umbrella over me. I said, well, that's the passive voice. It's not that either. Thank you, my lovely assistant. Now, please step back to where you were. And now, ladies and gentlemen, I will demonstrate, I said to my audience in Kitchener, Ontario, Canada, in 1996, I will demonstrate the middle voice of the Greek verb, which this is in, the middle voice. Here it is. It's me coming under the influence of something that already exists. So the lovely Marcia stood there with the umbrella over her head, and I slipped in under it. I slipped in under the influence of it. Me going up under it was, I drew the analogy, this is my coming to a realization of the truth. So it's not like I don't do anything. It's not like I do nothing. I come under a realization. I come to an awareness that this stuff exists. Like, where's this stuff been all my life? How many times have you shown people scriptures like 1 Timothy 4:10, God's the savior of all humanity? Where's that scripture been my whole life, people say? Well, it's been there a long time, you just haven't known it. All right, this armor of God, I'm going to go through every piece here, has been there a long time. You just have not known about it because you've been told that you have to work up your own armor. Now, don't reinvent the wheel, people. Do not reinvent the armor of God. So Paul says, as I told you yesterday, that it's not ours to wrestle with blood and flesh, but with the sovereignties, authorities, world mights of this darkness. People ask me, Martin, why do you hate the world? Because it's dark. This world is dark. We're supposed to look at the bright side of everything. Okay, let's see. It's going to, the darkness will be dispelled sometime soon. Yeah, that's the bright side. I can't see any bright side except that, well, okay, we are in the darkness. We are lights shining in the darkness. You can't have lights shining unless you have a backdrop of darkness. So there you go. Thank you for the darkness that we can shine as beacons, as lights. We herald the gospel in a dark, dark world. And even if the world doesn't get it, we get credit for heralding it. It's not about success. It's about effort. So I'm talking to myself. This is my thing. It might not be yours, but it's mine. You helped me to do it. So you're also making the effort. Don't think you're not. Every time you support this work, whether you write me an encouraging email and I read everything I get, I'm not too great at responding lately because I'm emotionally tapped out. But I read everything you send, your vast encouragement to me. Those of you who offer financial help, I can't do it without you, so thank you very much. We are fellow laborers together in this, in making people aware of what Christ has already done. This is not a cult. This doesn't draw attention to us, to me. I draw attention to Christ, and I don't try to rebuild the wheel. I don't tell you to come here to my website and I'll teach you how to put on the armor of God. No, I'm teaching you how it already exists, how it's God's righteousness, it's His evangel of peace, it's His truth, it's His everything. Going to go through every piece of that. One of the pieces is peace. And I direct you to Him, and I make you aware of things that have been there. You just haven't been told. I'm a messenger. This is great. So this enables us to stand up against the tricks of Satan. Then Paul says, it's not ours to wrestle with blood and flesh. In other words, but with the sovereignties, authorities, and the world mights. It's these spiritual forces of wickedness among the celestials who are trying to derail you, who are trying to trick you into thinking that you have to produce this armor. They're trying to trick you, and they're using human beings to do it. They're using blood and flesh to do it. Like Satan goes, Satan says, well, if I show up directly, the guy will pee his pants because I'm a scary, terrible, horrifying being. So I think I'll send his sister after him, and I'll have her say to him, what? You're not going to church? You quit the assembly? But you're not supposed to forsake the assembling of yourselves together. And I'll use his sister to shame him, or I'll use his wife to shame him. See, that's how Satan operates today, sends the blood and flesh against you. But you resist it, and we strengthen each other here. But look at this. Sovereignties, authorities, and world mights. There are organized powers among the celestials. This is one thing I want to point out to you today at the end of the week. Sovereignties, authorities, and world mights. Just like in the U.S., we have like the president, vice president, and the speaker of the house. Oh, speaking of politics, I think I'm going to do only 3 or 4 parts here, maybe 5 on the armor of God. And then I'm going to tell you, I'm going to do a show called What If Trump Loses? This is a show you are not going to want to miss. I'll give you this hint that if Trump loses the election on November 3rd, and I don't think he will, but if he does, what it actually means is every timetable we've had is accelerated. Okay, hang on to that thought. So we have these sovereignties, authorities, and world mights. There are organized powers. I keep telling you that these sovereignties and authorities and world mights, I mean, just the fact that there are 3 categories tells you that there are organized powers. Oh, they're organized. But again, the number one tool Satan has is lying. He's the father of lies, John 6:44. The sovereignties are the big guns. You never see these. These are the big boys. These are like the heavy hitters. These are the biggest, hairiest, ugliest demons around. They're sovereignties, okay? They're right up there on the bad side. We have the 24 elders, which are good. The 24 elders are in charge of what I believe are 24 districts among the celestials. Yes, I believe Earth is divided into 12 segments of power. Notice the 12 apostles, the 12 tribes of Israel. 12 is the number of earthly reign. Now, but when you're talking about the celestial realm, it's divided into 24 sectors of power. 24 sectors of power. And there are 24 elders who are ancient ones. These are spiritual beings that serve God. We read about them for the first time in the book of the Unveiling. But I believe their equivalent on the dark side would be the sovereignties. Yeah, you never want to meet these sovereignties. They're absolutely deadly, okay? But they're under the jurisdiction of God, so you don't have to worry about them. Yeah, you can flip your nose at them and, you know, but these are the ones running religions, I believe. These are the ones that are in charge of establishing the main religions on the earth, the sovereignties. Then we have the authorities. They're under the sovereignties. That would be like the vice president. They're the second in command. They're like running the errands of the sovereignties. The sovereignties don't move. They just sit there like Jabba the Hutt. They're probably overweight. They're corpulent, and they make decisions. And they send the decisions down to the authorities, and the authorities then dispatch the world mites. The world mites are the equivalent on the dark side to the force, which would be probably angels or messengers. Here we have the world mites. These are the ones that probably show up every once in a while. People see things. People see like they think they're seeing their dead loved ones. I keep telling people these are like freaking world mites. These are demons. You might call them demons. I think world mites are more along the line of demons. Anyway, they belong to this darkness.
Which darkness, Martin?
The one we're in right now. The one that some people love. The one that some people like. The darkness that some people don't want to leave. How many times have I told you we're on the same planet that crucified Christ? This is the same eon, the same cosmos that crucified Jesus Christ. I want the hell out of here ASAP with the spiritual forces of wickedness among the celestials. That's where they are. Satan has not been cast out of heaven yet. Some think that when Satan is cast out of the celestial realm in the book of Revelation, that corresponds with the time we are snatched away up there. Someone sent me an email this morning. It was beautiful. It was so intelligent. I have the smartest audience on YouTube. This woman is being vexed like all of you are being vexed by the spiritual forces of wickedness among the celestials, attacking her as they attack us through other human beings, through circumstances, through things that go wrong in your life. Just it's the 100th straw that breaks the camel's back. Oh, do you know what I did? I tell you, I was having a bad day a couple of days ago, right? So you know how it is nowadays at the grocery stores. Used to be when I was a kid, you had these really sturdy paper bags. Right, they had a nice sturdy bottom, like triple ply, and you carry them like this, things rarely fell out. You could pack those things with 20 pounds of groceries. Now we have these little sissy bags, these little plastic bags with the little handles, and you have to carry them just right, and if you don't, then your stuff falls out. This is what happened to me the other day. I had to have blue chips and salsa, so I went to the Winn-Dixie. And I couldn't stop thinking about blue chips and salsa. The one guarantee that you will think of blue chips and salsa, blue corn chips and salsa, is to tell yourself not to think of them. So I said, I'm not going to think of these. So I couldn't think of nothing, anything but. So I went and got them, and I ate the whole bag of blue chips in the car, dipping it in the salsa. I came home. I mishandled the bags coming out of the car. I was so frustrated. Just it was like the 100th thing, the little thing that went wrong. And the salsa fell out. I was so ticked. I took the bottle of salsa. I threw it across my driveway here. And it went into a bush. And it's still there. Maybe on Monday, I'll take you out there. I'll take my phone out there. And we'll look for it. And we'll try to find it. It would be like an excavation. Right? Or maybe, 100 years from now during the millennium, someone will catch this video. And they'll say, let's go see if we can find remnants of Martin Zender's salsa bottle. Remember he said that? On show 516 or 517 MZTV. Let's go see if we can find it. That'll be fun. Whatever turns you on. So these are the forces that are after. So this woman said, I'm being vexed probably by the world might that knows I'm going to be taking its place, or the sovereignty or the authority. I forget which one she said, but she's smart. She knows there are sovereignties and authorities and world mights. She knows that there's hierarchies of power. She knows there's a pecking order among the celestials on the force side and on the dark side. And she says, I quote, probably the one that knows I'm going to replace it, because we are going to replace these SOBs. We are going to take their rule, take their throne, and we're going to displace them. And at this time, probably Satan will be cast from heaven at our being taken up into heaven. And it'll be game on at that point. But if you think we're untouchable now, and, we pretty much are. I mean, nothing can come to us unless God orchestrates it and does it for our good to bring us greater glory through our suffering. But we're going to be freaking battleships then. Untouchable. It's going to feel great. So Paul talks about this here. He says, we have to put up with these things. We're being attacked by these things, by these beings, but they're using human beings, because if they showed up in person, we would shit ourselves, because they're very big and ugly and smelly, especially the sovereignties. These are the ones that run the churches. They're the ugliest, smelliest, malevolent spiritual forces in existence. The world mites, So, because of this, Paul says, take up the armor of God. Take up, love this in the Greek, analambano. That's the word in the Greek, analambano. I went to high school with her, by the way, Anna Lombano. She was an Italian girl. I went over to her house one time. Does she make a great spaghetti? Anna Lombano, what have you done for me? I make you the spaghetti. Do you like it? I love it. And I'm only a sophomore in high school yet already. I take in the beautiful scent of your Italian sauces. She says, well, I am Anna Lombano. Yes, and you also have the similar name to a Greek word here, Anna Lombano, translated take up in the Concordant version. This is perfect because Anna Lombano is a two-part Greek word, as well as the name of a beautiful girl from my high school years. That is, the first part is up, the second part is get. So this works in perfect combination with put on the armor of God. So just like the umbrella example, I come up under it, right? I come under the influence, and then I take it up. I stand up under it. I'm standing up under this. I'm standing. It's not like we have no involvement. So we are standing up to these sovereignties and authorities. It's not like we're cowering in the corner. Just because I say that this armor isn't yours, just because I say this armor is God's, the armor of God, God's armor, doesn't mean we cower in the corner. We stand up and we are under this armor of God. You don't have to name it and claim it. It's already there. Christians tell you, unless you name it and claim it, you don't have it. No, you realize that it's been there the whole time. It's been protecting you your whole life. Things have gone the way they have because God has had his hand on you from your birth. He knows you're in the body of Christ. He designated you beforehand. He's been taking care of you. Now you just come to realize that all along God's been your battleship. And Satan cannot sink your battleship or your sub or your destroyer. No, he can't. And you have a destroyer, you have a sub, and you have a battleship, and an aircraft carrier, too. Now, take up. Stand up under it. Once you come under the influence, then stand up. Up, get it up. Put on the armor of God that you may be enabled to withstand in the wicked day. That's where we are now. We're in the wicked day, if you haven't noticed. So Paul talks about this darkness, and he calls it the wicked day. And you wonder why you're having a bad day. You wonder why you're having a bad day? We're up against sovereignties, authorities, and world mights of this darkness, and we're up against spiritual forces of wickedness among the celestials. And there's you. And there's you. Little you. You can hardly get out of bed in the morning. Yeah, you eat dairy products, and you shit yourself. You're so weak, right? You get a splinter in your finger, and that's all you can think about. You're so weak. And yet, God girds you up. He is your bulwark. He's your wall. He's your defense. He's your destroyer. He's your battleship. God is. And Satan knows that. And we just acknowledge it. And it's like, screw you. Screw you. I'm not careful around Satan. I know there's a verse in Jude that Jude says... Somebody was arguing over the body of Moses. I don't know what the big deal was, the body of Moses. Maybe they wanted to put it in a museum or something. And one of the evil celestial beings wanted it, but somebody else wanted it. I don't know, the funeral director. But Jude says not to bring a railing accusation against Satan. Oh, one of the angels was after, one of the good angels. Was it Michael? Was it Michael? They were fighting over the body of Moses, and not even the angel, I think it was Gabriel, could have been Michael, could have been Joe, I don't know, but not even this celestial emissary would bring a railing accusation against Satan. Well, I'm sorry you're so timid. We, as members of the body of Christ, we have more authority, we have more power, we have more confidence than this angel had. I forget if it's Gabriel or Michael. We do. So they had to be careful. This celestial emissary had to be careful around Satan. Don't want to bring a railing accusation against Satan. Don't want to upset him. Don't want to get on his wrong side. I don't want to like wave at him and maybe he'll accidentally think I gave him the finger. Well, this is what I do to Satan. I directly give him the finger because we have no fear of Satan. He's defanged. He's detoothed. He's an old man behind the curtain. I gave you the Wizard of Oz analogy yesterday. It was an excellent analogy. I got Wizard of Oz and analogies all day. I can give you Wizard of Oz analogies. So we are withstanding these attacks in the wicked day. This armor will be completely unnecessary when we're snatched away. I heard somebody say, oh, we're going to use this armor to fight the celestial beings when we're snatched away among the celestials. Huh? No. This armor retires. I mean, this enables us to stand up in the wicked day. That's now. Stand up, girded about your loins. Now we're going to get to the details. And I'll save that for Monday. I might go on an expedition, try to find my jar of salsa. It's still out there somewhere. I don't even care to find it. I just threw it down there. Half of it was gone, you know. I'm not a wasteful person, but I couldn't take it anymore. But you know what? I don't feel condemned about that. I acted in anger. Yes, I did. Do I feel condemned? No. Is Satan laughing? I don't care. Are the celestials laughing, the good ones? I don't care. They can do whatever they want. I'm justified in Christ. I thought it was humorous. I thought it was funny. I'm not going to make a big deal of it. I can laugh at it right now. You can say, well, you wasted it. Well, if I had eaten more than I wanted to, I would have wasted it then too. Right? It's still waste, isn't it? So don't worry. I gave $20 to a homeless guy yesterday. So, you know, I made amends. I wasn't trying to make amends for the souls. I just thought that, you know, I went to give this guy a $20 bill. He was looking horrible. He was sitting on the sidewalk. I handed him the 20 and he says, can you give me a pack of cigarettes, Marlboro 100s, please? No, he didn't say please. I need a pack of cigarettes, Marlboro 100s. I said, well, can't you take this money and go get it yourself? I need a pack of Marlboro 100s, poor guy. I said, well, can't you get it yourself? He goes, I can't walk, huh? So I took his order. I'm taking this guy's order. I need some beer, too. So I go into the Walgreens. I get him a Foster's beer, a can, a giant can, and I get him a pack of Marlboro 100s. And I'm thinking, and I was going to give him the change. I was going to give him the 20. I think the beer and the cigs were 10 bucks. I was going to give him the change, but then I thought, no, this is a service charge. I'm going to keep the 10 bucks for a service charge. So I ended up saving money. I went out there, gave the guy his smokes and his beer. I think he's a happy guy. I always like these bums that say, you know, they have signs out like, I need money for alcohol or need money for cigarettes. Thank you. Thank you. Be honest. These people say, I need money for food. I need money to support my wife. I need money to take my dog to the vet. BS. You're just going to spend it on booze and alcohol and cigarettes. So I'll just give you the alcohol and the cigarettes. Some people were looking at me askance. What is this guy doing? I think they were Christians. Regina.